Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Hello everyone and welcome to Up the Poshcast. We are recording the night after Posh's heartbreaking defeat to Charlton Athletic. Another kick in the bollocks this season. Tonight we've got four of us on: Ash, Dell, Harry and myself, John. Harry, going to start with you. You were at the Valley last night. Sum it up for us, can you?
Yeah, gutting, as you said, kick in the bollocks. I thought that we got a chance to see the team get in sort of in the trenches in a way that was they haven't had. We've been down to 10 men, which didn't necessarily stop Charlton having a lot of shots, but there was a lot of heart and a lot of passion in the second half, as far as I could see, which followed a really, you know, a first half that lacked just quality in any area from our performance. I think that we, the Lincoln loss, the Bristol Rovers loss, and this loss all hurt. And there was a lot of bad football from us in all three games. With that being said, of those three, Charlton clearly had plenty of very good players. Lincoln were solid. Bristol Rovers are not that good. But Charlton actually have some players you could imagine playing in the Championship. Especially their wingers last night were very, very good. So, to a certain extent, credit to the players for sticking in as far as and as long as they could. Doesn't stop it hurting, though. And fundamentally, when there was 11 on the pitch, it wasn't good enough.
I think I'm going to disagree with the heartbreaking element of that. I thought it was inevitable, if I'm being totally honest with you. At no point in that game did I feel confident that we had the ability to grind out a result. The first half, yes, there were shades of positives in that we didn't concede a goal, but we just really didn't push forwards as we should do, as we should as Peterborough United. And then the second half happened. And again, it's so disappointing that every single game, it's like it's the same story and it's draining. And it's just, I don't want to be negative. I feel for the players yesterday. I didn't like how they were set up. It never felt like we went there to try and win the game. Yes, Charlton, they're a great team, aren't they? But what are we doing? We need to be winning games at the moment. And it just doesn't feel like we're even trying to go out there. Like, were we going to go there and hold on for a draw? I don't think so. And you have stupid people making stupid decisions again. Fergie's called Manny out for that. I don't know what he's doing for that tackle, but to then the referee, he gives a penalty for a handball. I don't really know what Sam Hughes is meant to do with his arm. And then we concede from another set piece. It's a good job that Charlie's not here today, because if he was, I'm sure he'd be going for Paul Gerrard for the third time in as many episodes.
Yeah, and I think it's easy to point the finger at Paul Gerrard, because structurally our set pieces have clearly not been set up right all season. We're just conceding way too many goals. But last night, I hate to say it, it's on one man. Not as in the defeat, but that goal, it's Oscar Vallin losing his man. And all night, he was all at sea. I thought the first half actually was a good indication of almost where we're at as a team. The first 10 minutes, I actually thought we started quite well. We were quite front-footed. And then we just got progressively worse. And I honestly thought two players stood out for all the wrong reasons. And that was Gustav Lindgren and Oscar Vallin. The two Swedish meatballs, let's call them that, because they're about as much use as a pair of them on the pitch. Vallin is just terrible. I've been beating this drum for I don't know how long. I do not see it with him. He is abject defensively, not particularly good on the ball, doesn't mark, isn't physical. I don't see really any plus points to his game apart from recovery pace. I really struggle with him. I think he's just so far below League One level. It's painful to see, really. And then Lindgren, I mean, he's been in for a rough ride since he started. We're playing defensive football. He's running around a lot thanklessly, but he has to learn the game quickly, because every time we went into him, the defender was there ahead of him. He was on the back foot. He just was not sharp to the ball, couldn't hold it up. And those two caused so many issues. And then everything just got worse and worse. And actually, I thought we were better with 10 than we were with 11, weirdly. And I thought the red card ultimately gave us a bit of a get out, because you hear Fergie afterwards saying, oh, we look resilient. And yeah, the efforts of the players when we went down to 10, I can't question. They did put it on the line. They did really try. But the first 60 minutes, or at least after the first 10 minutes, was just another abject performance. And the only reason we weren't 3-0 down again by that point is because we got a little bit of luck with a couple of deflections. They hit the post. They nudged one just wide. They missed a one-on-one, whereas other teams have put those chances away. And yeah, it was ultimately all down to Charlton's finishing, or poor finishing, that really we were clinging on in the game. And we went there last season and we were total control of that game. There was a goalkeeping error. And I hate banging on about last season, but it's just so disappointing watching how far we've fallen, because we went there last season and basically dominated the whole game. And this game, we got pissed all over again. And yeah, the scoreline looks close and we conceded in the last minute, but we can't have any complaints that we lost. I know it seems a bit harsh when they put in that much effort for the last half hour, but on the run of play, it wasn't harsh. We deserve to lose the game.
You know, it's very much like go to watch Peterborough. It's like Groundhog Day, don't you think? Oh, mate, it's awful. And no stage last night was the game enjoyable. There was, you never felt that we was going to get anything out of the game. Obviously, 1-0, and then the player sent off, whatever. Well, sorry, 1-0, then a player sent off. You thought you were going to get fucking bad. But as John said, I actually thought we was better with 10 men. Not from a entertainment point of view, but we was doing the basics a lot better than what we were in the first half. And it was just like, you still don't think you're going to pick up a point, because most games of the season, we give away a stupid fucking goal at the end. And it happened again yesterday. And, I keep going on about this season. We just need to get through this season. Fuck the performances. Fuck, you know, whatever, going to the top. Let's just get through the season the best we can. If we've got to grind out 1-0 wins or 3-2 wins by playing fucking awful football, then so be it. But at the moment, we're playing awful football and not getting anything out of it. You know, we're just letting ourselves down with some stupid decision making, or, you know, as we keep been saying all fucking season, set pieces. If we could cut out some set pieces, goals from set pieces, we'd probably be mid table or even top half, because that's how many we conceded, it feels like. But as for Manny with his, I actually thought it was a red card all day long. I don't know what other people were saying. A few people on Twitter were saying, or social media, never a red. Fuck off. Then he snapped his ankles, you know. And I'm not a fan of him, of the tail end of the season. I was beginning of the season, but as the season's gone on, he's gone right down in my estimations. But disappointing. But you've got a few of them that it just hasn't happened. Lindgren, it's just not working for him at the moment. And is that because of the way the team's playing, or is it because of confidence, or is it that he's fucked and he ain't really sort of ready to play, or is it we're playing the wrong formation? Really, really don't know. But we've just got to keep behind them, keep pushing the best we can, get through this season, and then, you know, hopefully we can rebuild and go again in August the 2nd, I think we start again, isn't it? So I'll see the things come back out.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned there, Dale, about is it formation, is it players, you're not sure what the issue is. I think if we're focusing in on the clear, like a really clear tactical decision, three at the back, wing backs, three natural centre mids and two up top. Something that I think we all remember the England 2018 squad, right? That was how we set up. It works when the wing-backs can get up high. We all know, and this is no disrespect to CJ, because, you know, although he had a tough time last night, he is pretty good defensively. He is learning to be a forward-thinking wing-back. It's a hell of a game to put him in that position and to expect him to bomb up. Tyo, fine, knows how to do it. But here's the thing, is that Charlton was so good at dealing with the central balls, which is what we were trying to put through to Ricky and Gustav as much as possible in the first half, often bypassing the midfield. Tayo and CJ were not coming up when that happened. There were, you guys might remember a few times where it was either Valin or maybe Sam Hughes passing out all the way through, bypassing midfield and going to Ricky. Ricky's got a man on his back and he has to pass it away straight away. He has only one option. It's usually one of the midfielders who themselves is being covered. CJ has not come up. On the other side with Gustav, Tayo has not come up. Ricky bombed down the right-hand side at one point, broke away, you may remember, crossed it in, didn't get it to Gustav. But Tayo's positioning, those of us who are there, still behind the halfway line. It's not really a criticism of them individually. It's that if you got, you know, if Fergie's going to set up this team in this way, that's the focal point of a narrow 5-3-2, is those wing backs giving you something. I'd also say that the midfield, look, Sohu, clearly very talented player, but all three of them needed to be way more industrious. They were beaten to so many balls in the centre of the pitch last night. And that example I gave, actually, where Ricky was trying to lay it back off, usually because it was the only touch he could take, Kyprianou was not available to him. And they weren't available to each other. Kyprianou had the ball nicked off him. There was a pass from, I think it was Archie, towards Kyprianou that was wayward. There was a bit of performance element there, which maybe couldn't be legislated for. But it might have been a lot easier for all of them if someone like Chris Conn-Clarke had been on the pitch a bit further up. Just give them someone in between the front players and the holding mids. I don't have a lot of confidence in it as a system with CJ out there. Tayo is good, and he was clearly happy to bomb up the side of the pitch when we were Daz 10, but it needs to be from the first minute and some bravery there. Trust your three centre-backs to cover it if you get counter-attacked on. That's the whole point, right? But I wouldn't be persisting with it personally, the narrow 5-3-2.
Yeah, I think that the issue is that we still seem to have lots of what I would say are like glamour players on, even at the back. Manny and Oscar Valen are not those robust, industrious footballers. And we're not playing to their strengths. We're trying to play this robust, backs against the wall football. And these players just aren't cut out for it. I don't understand what the game plan was. I said it to Phil, was down at the front yesterday. And I asked him and said, what are we doing? Why are we being so negative here? Like, surely Wednesday night against Cheltenham showed us everything that we needed, is that we needed to just be positive and on the front foot and let our flair players just grind it out. And if we have to score five, then we'll score five. If we concede four, then so be it. But at the end of the day, it's 3 points on the board rather than none. Is that when you isolate players like Gustav, players like Ricky, and even Motherseal when he came on, there were times yesterday where Motherseal had the ball and Ricky was busting a gut to get in. But then other than that, it was nothing. It was like one option. We are a team that needs multiple options in the box when we do it. And we've just, unfortunately, these players are too far apart from each other. There's no link. Like, Sissoko is a fantastic footballer. I think he's shown that again in his cameo yesterday, in his stint that he was on the pitch. But it just seems so disjointed. And like, we're changing it. We're going like, we're playing tomorrow. Will we play different on Stevenage? That means they've got two days to work on it. Like, if they've been off and having a rest today, like, you can't keep changing what we're doing. And it's just so frustrating that the players now can't get the chance. Like, I've had my fair say on the players and I don't think that they've been good enough here and that they should have ground out some results in other places. But at the moment, I'm struggling to really pin it on the players, and it's just a little bit soul destroying, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I actually totally agree with all your analysis there. I think when you've had a week to work on a system as well, we had a rare week off, and that's kind of what got served up. It's all a little bit depressing. I thought, look, for the last 2-3 episodes, I've basically just moaned the whole way through. I've been very negative. It's increasingly difficult to find positives with Peterborough United at the minute. And I'm hating watching this team. It's making me quite miserable, to be quite honest. But I did want to single out a few players maybe. They weren't sparkling, but I think you've both touched on Sissoko. And I thought, for a player coming back from injury, he was good. He linked the play well, set one part, brilliant pass into Lindgren early on when Lindgren sort of cocked it up. Showed some of that City class. And there were moments where you sort of thought, yeah, that's a good player. It's a shame we didn't have him all season. I think Tyo Edden deserves a bit of credit for the way he's come into the team. He's shown real aptitude for the fight and the battle, regardless of sort of, look, he made a silly error, wasn't it, at Wigan? Was it Wigan or Exeter? One of the two games, they all sort of blur into one, where he gave away that penalty in the last minute. But I think in general, he's been a good signing. And I think I like his battling spirit a lot. It makes up, there are a few deficiencies in his game, but he does try hard. And again, he tried hard yesterday. I think Malik Mothersill absolutely deserves a start at this point. Don't really know why he's not, why he wasn't starting last night. I will continue to champion the Malik Mothersill drum for as long as it takes, because I think he is one of the players this season that has shown fight whenever he's come on. And for me, I think Jed Steer also deserves a bit of a shout out. I know there's, we sort of chatted last night and a couple of the lads didn't feel that he was great, but I thought that was one of Steer's better performances this season. I thought he made some decent saves, particularly in the first half, that we've criticised Jed a lot this season for not saving shots. Charlton nearly had 3 XG last night and they only scored twice. He outperformed the XG stats, which is a rarity for Jed Steer. And I thought he was, in general, relatively commanding under crosses, didn't make too many howlers. Ball at feet, he wasn't great. Again, a bit like Bilicapic. But I thought those... And Sam Hughes is probably the other one, just while I'm on the positives. I thought he did everything I could ask of him. He's not a good footballer, but he's a good defender. And he defended very well. There was a moment where a cross came into the back post and he did brilliantly to clear it under his own goal net, really, and put it behind. So, yeah, I guess those are small positives. That, like I say, they weren't amazing displays, but they came out of the game with some credit, I thought.
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree with Jed Steer's performance. And this isn't just because of Bilicapic and wanting Bilicapic in the team. I thought that, again, like we have Jed Steer for his experience in this alleged good kicking. Now, I watched him 3 or 4 times last night take the ball all the way out to the left-hand side of his goal and then slice it out. And I'm not sure that they actually reached the halfway line. Now, when you're under the cosh with 10 men on the pitch, common sense, like he didn't get, like the weirdest thing was that Ricky got booked for time wasting whilst taking a throw. And Jed Steer didn't get booked for time wasting, like even though he was taking his time over multiple goal kicks and multiple free kicks. And I know that we're saying that they had good XG and Jed made lots of saves, but the only real one that I can remember was the one that was straight at him. And thank goodness he saved that, because God forbid that had gone in, that would have been embarrassing, straight through his hands. And again, we talk about the experience and the game knowledge. He was not good against, if I remember back to Rotherham, we conceded from set pieces against Rotherham, and there was a period around there where we conceded from set pieces as well. And he's just as bad with his communication when it comes to set pieces. And there's obviously the clip that have gone around, a few Charlton fans have got their second goal from the stands. And people are criticising Malik Mothersill. Now, if I'm a goalkeeper, I'm telling Malik Mothersill, right, that ball goes over your head, you drop back onto the post and you cover that goal line. Why has he not communicated that with him? Now, we've discussed this as well, haven't we, when we through the night and through today, is that Malik Mothersill's instruction is very clearly, if the ball goes over your head, you get yourself out to the left wing so that if there's a fast counter-attack on, we can break quickly. He's done it with Bilo. Steer kicked the ball out a couple of times to him or threw the ball out to him as well. So fine, I've got no issues with that. But surely your 31-year-old goalkeeper should be saying and instructing your 21-year-old striker, saying, right, sack off the plans that we've learned in training. This is what you need to do. The ball goes over your head, get back on the goal line and protect the goal line. And I don't, like John said, I don't want to just be seen as the great defender of Malik Mothersill and Nicholas Bilicapic, but unfortunately, at some point, these experienced players who ultimately haven't improved our defence in Johnston, Sam Hughes and Tao Adan, and now Jed Steer in that as well, have got to start taking some of the blame.
I won't labour the point too much on Steer. I'd just say that I'm willing to accept that this was his first game back in quite a long time. And maybe there's a rustiness in the kicking there. Because, yeah, but I don't know if it translated on TV, but for those of us who are there, it's the 83rd minute and we're absolutely dying. Every player is doing everything they can to make sure that we don't have the ball towards our own box. And there's one exception to that. It's Steer, because every time there's a goal kick, Charlton start the next play in our half. Like, it was so frustrating. Now, that being said, every cross that came in pretty much, which he could have caught, he did. He made no stupid decisions in terms of coming out of his net to catch things. I thought that you made your point about the communication, but to be honest, he wasn't shy. Like, we could hear him in the first half at our end. He was perfectly happy to line up the wall, give people instructions, had to deal with Manny complaining about absolutely everything to everyone in all directions, which is a shame because Manny had otherwise performed reasonably well in the first half. But anyway, enough on Steer. I think there's room for improvement on him is all I'd say. But yeah, coming back to Motherseal as well, we shouldn't finish the topic of the game without mentioning him. He came on. I thought his attitude was spot on. Like he took the ball and drove it forward, was willing to take the risks that I've criticised him before for not taking. I was particularly critical of him, I think it was against Mansfield on Boxing Day, for just doing... No, sorry, linking away, standing behind Tayo and not bombing forward with any sense of positional, you know, awareness. He was in all the right spots last night and sets up what normally would have been a goal, ended up being a penalty. I think Ricky did well getting a penalty out of that. But showed that he had both the willingness to try and drive forward himself and lay it off. I was really happy to see it. I was happy to make him my man of the match. I think he suited better in that more central striker role than out on the left wing, to be honest, because he's able to link up more easily. The passes are a bit shorter. And he's not having to hit and hope it into the box as much. So, yeah, look, credit to him. Let's hope he can kick on from here. If he starts on Saturday, please, Malik, do it from minute one and key your head up, look for the options around you because you actually have a decent pass on you.
Yeah, and just to sort of wrap up on Charlton, I was so disappointed again that we went the whole second half without really making any subs. I think the bench was a weird one and obviously Nevitt's played for the 21s earlier on in the day, so... We've gone to Charlton with one recognised defender on the bench in James Donnelly. Now, I don't have an issue with that. I understand that Fergie said that these players need to get some confidence back into them. But when you look at our bench compared to their bench, their starting 11 compared to our starting 11, I mean, even the basics, like, again, we discussed today in the group chat, didn't we? Like, somebody like Matt Godden, I got a clip of it on pitch side. He makes a run to the front post in front of Sam Hughes, and he misses the ball. The ball doesn't come across. And he then literally resets himself back behind Sam Hughes and goes again and then wins the ball. I don't think our strikers have got that in their locker. Now, whether that's something that comes with time and comes with experience, but I would say that Craig McHale-Smith was probably quite good at doing that as well. And if he was spending that time, we go back to the summer that Ricky spent with him, is that seems like such a basic thing. And it was so fascinating to actually watch it. He runs, the ball gets blocked. He goes back into the hidden zone behind Sam Hughes and then makes exactly the same run within 2 seconds. So, yeah, like just the subs like that Charlton brought on compared to our subs. I mean, I know that obviously Motherseal was forced, but then to only have brought on Abraham Otto. Like, I know that Kean Hayes was warming up, but how's Kean Hayes not got on the pitch before Abraham Otto? Like, and I know that it's been banding around Twitter again today, but... At this point, I'd much rather somebody like David Ajeboy coming on over Abraham Otto. He doesn't offer anything. And yesterday wasn't a terrible performance from him, don't get me wrong. But equally, he came on and did diddly squat. I mean, at least he didn't run the ball out for a goal kick like he did at Bristol Rovers. That's probably a positive, isn't it?
You know what? I just want to really jump in. Abraham Otto, I'd rather have fucking Abraham Lincoln at the moment because he is fucking shit. Sorry, mate, but you need to improve your game. Simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, it hurts me to say because I said if Fergie plays Abraham Otto again, I will be Fergie out. And for me, last night was Fergie out. Not because necessarily because he brought on Abraham Odo, although it was a weird decision. I don't understand why we're doing that. But I'm just hugely disappointed, almost with everyone behind the scenes at the football club. And I'm really sad that I'm sort of in a position. I mean, there's look, it is what it is. But we're public. I'm now publicly saying that I want Darren Ferguson out on a podcast that's listened to by, I don't know how many hundreds of people. That hurts me to do because I love Darren Ferguson. He's the greatest Peterborough United manager of my lifetime and probably the club's history. But I think the time has come where he is now actively harming the team. And I'm frustrated with Dara because Fergie devised a system last season, which was the most exciting football system that I've seen in my time supporting Posh. I loved last season. We didn't go up. We didn't have the culmination of joy that we all anticipated, but everyone loved it. We were so fortunate to watch that team play. I loved almost every game that we played. There was a spell where we were poor, but in general, every game was entertaining. It became abundantly clear after 10 games this season, probably maybe even sooner than that, that this team didn't have the quality to play that system. And that's on Dara. He takes responsibility for the recruitment. He has badly, badly let Darren Ferguson down. I'm angry with the players. Some of them just aren't up to the level, but there's some, Kyprianou, Collins, Ricky J. Jones, whose standards have slipped throughout the season. I'm angry at them for failing to do their part of the bargain. But I'm also angry now at Darren Ferguson because I do not understand his plan. He is not a defensive manager and we are playing absolute dross football. And then he is asking in his post-match press conference for more of that. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense. We are trying the same things over and over. We went to Cheltenham and we played basically nine at the back. We switched to a 4-2-4 effectively. And it was the best half of football we've seen in so long. I know it's against Cheltenham. I know it's against League Two. But where's your fucking bollocks, Fergie? You preach attacking football. You coach attacking football. This is cowardly football now. And you had two choices. You could have backed our attack, which is decent. We all agree the attack's decent. It's above League One, average League One standard. There's some good players in our attack. Or you could have backed our defence. And what he's doing is he's relying on our defence to keep clean sheets, which they are incapable of. We've seen it all season. They are incapable of. I don't care the structure of it. They are not capable of keeping clean sheets. So why are we now trying to win games 1-0? We have a far greater chance of saying, yes, we are shit at the back. We're going to be shit at the back. It doesn't matter if we have 12 men on the pitch. We're going to be shit at the back because half the defenders are nowhere near League One quality. So why are we relying on them to shut opposition teams out? Just go and outscore teams. If we're going to go down, let's fucking go down swinging, not go down waving the white flag like we are now. And I just don't understand it. He does this every single time he's given a team that isn't of brilliant quality. He's amazing. Once we have a team that's above average for the league, he is brilliant at getting them into the playoff places. He's brilliant at coaching attacking football. But the way we're playing is not Darren Ferguson football. It's not what he's made his career on. And frankly, if he wants to set up like this, then we might as well go and get Steve Evans. We might as well go and get Gareth Ainsworth because we will get more points from a manager with that knowledge of a system like this than Darren Ferguson. So if he wants to set up like this, which I think for 3 months, he clearly does, and then he's saying that he's seeing signs of positivity in the performance. Sorry, Fergie, but I'm not one of these people that thinks I would rather go down to League Two with Darren Ferguson than, you know, just we're going down. We are going down if we keep him. That's where I'm at with it. And I think he's got to go.
Yeah, right. I mean, that could have all been summarised in about 20 seconds, but I appreciate the passion, John. I'm Fergie in and I'm very, very happy to be Fergie in, even though I've said that I also think he will go down. I'm only winding you up, John. I think that I'm being serious with this one, John. I think that you're being very reflexive with your comments. I think it was only 2 months ago that we were all saying we've got to get more stout defensively. So we've become, to some extent, more defensive. And now we're saying we've got to be more attacking. We've got to go forward more. The reality is there isn't good enough players in this squad, in this team, to play one or the other very well. We are probably the 18th best team in this league. And I'm happy to say that Darren's actually underperformed that a little bit, because there's a bit of shock factor when you realise, okay, we aren't a playoff team. Got to try and reset here. And also you're dealing with three new defensive players, but starting defensive players through the door in January. But what I would say is this, I'm still seeing a manager who fundamentally each and every game going out with a plan in mind, even if that plan isn't being executed by his players. The 5-3-2 was very clearly a plan. Like the game against Cheltenham was very clearly a plan. And there's a certain element of care for what you wish for. What manager comes in and keeps this squad up with these players? I honestly think that Fergie is the one most likely to do it. And honestly, I think I already said a few weeks ago after the Bristol Rovers game, that I think we're going down. I still think we're going down. There's that other element that I still think Fergie, you know, I know you decry it, John, but got an unbelievable promotion winning manager in the door already. Why not use him? You know, why not use him if we have to? And fundamentally, I think it's too big a risk to let him go. I think that there will be some results coming around the corner when one of these plans that he's got actually comes off. But also, I think the idea of us going back to heavy metal football or trying to, I don't think it will work. I think we have to be more defensive or try to be with this squad. It's just the reality of it. And we're gonna see a lot of turgid performances between now and the end of the season, like the Wigan game or the Exeter game. You get 4 points out of those through playing pretty poorly, but at least there's some continuity in Darren Ferguson. And also, fundamentally, there is at least a plan being put in place every single game. It might not be popular right now to say that, but no, Fergie in.
Well, I think you spoke for about as long as me there after calling me out, but there you go. I'd like to say, though, there is a plan. That's what I'm saying. The plan is wrong. I get that we were all calling for us to keep more clean sheets and sign defenders, but it's like you haven't listened to the pod. Since January, when we signed those three players, I said they don't fit Ferguson's system. I've been preaching that since January. They don't. They don't fit the football that we want to play. So if you want to go back and play this robust style of football, he's not your manager for it. And you can say that we've got a plan. But if the plan's wrong, why are we sticking to it? Where were we, Harry, when this season started and we were playing attacking football? We were steadily mid-table. Where are we? We've been the worst team in the league for the last 20 games. That's nearly half a season. Now, I think there's issues with this squad, big issues. It's not very good. I don't think it's the worst team in League One. I think there's enough quality in Kyprianou, in Collins, in Ricky J. Jones, in Malik Mothersill, even in Kean Hayes, in Teo Eden as well, that I don't think it's the worst team in League One. I see a team like Stevenage, who we're going to play this weekend. Dan Butler plays left-back for them. Now, who would you rather have, Teo Eden or Dan Butler? Yet, look where they are, look where we are. We are massively underperforming. And yes, there are issues, but the plan Fergie is setting up with is wrong. It's not the right plan, in my opinion. And I think we've seen it for too long. And if he's going to stick by this plan, he is going to take us down.
But it's game by game, right? I'm talking about there have clearly been lots of different game plans each game. Very different style of, or very different idea for the Charlton game versus even the Bristol Rovers game or the Lincoln game. Those two didn't even get off the ground. I think two of the worst, or three of the worst recently, Mansfield, Lincoln and Bristol Rovers, right? Complete non-starter games, probably in part because of the players just not even trying hard enough. And as I already said, Fergie's definitely underperformed already this season given the quality of the squad. So we are looking at, there should have been more points on the board compared to the quality of the squad. And Fergie has to own that. Equally,
It's easy for me to say this, maybe labouring the point. Because I think we're going down anyway, I think the worst thing we could do is change manager now. You're going to be giving him an absolute poison chalice. If you think there's a lot of players who want to leave right now, it'll only be more than that if Fergie goes. At least if we know he's staying and he's going to go down with the ship and be the one to have to dredge it up next year, some of those players might actually be up for that challenge who are in the door at the minute. And yeah, I think that's it from me on it. But he's the man I want, whether we stay up or go down, to be honest with you.
I think my issue is that I just feel like I'm desperate for somebody to blame or someone or a group of players to blame, but I'm really struggling game by game where to pin the blame. And that's the issue, is that if the players were shit, you'd say, yes, they're shit. Like, if they don't put in the performance like they did at Bristol Rovers, they take the blame. Now, did the players put in the effort yesterday? I think that they did. They were just set up terribly. And this goes back to the, how many plans have we had through this season? How many plans has Darren Ferguson, Dale Tong, Kieran Scarfe, Paul Gerrard set up with? And they've all been shit. We've basically had two good plans all season, Blackpool and Cambridge. Cambridge is shit and Blackpool were just fucking shit on the night, weren't they? Is that clearly this group of footballers, and I don't want to say this in a malicious way, are not intelligent enough to take this information on board in short, sharp bursts. It goes back to the mother seal thing, like I said, about the corner that we conceded from yesterday. He has clearly had instruction throughout the season. You are the man on the front post. When it goes over you, you get yourself out to break. Now, he's had that drilled into him all season. We do that continuously. That this is what I do when I coach the under 14 team that I coach, is that you do the repetition until it's in their head. Where's the repetition in changing the plan? Every two games, every single game. We're going from home and away. We've got a run of, what, four away games on the bounce now. We've got to go to Wrexham in 2 weeks' time, and we're going to be missing three of the players that played last night. God knows how that's going to finish up. And, like, the blame is with DMAT, the blame's with Fergie, the blame's with the coaching staff, the blame's with the players. But altogether, they've all got positives in there, haven't they? Like, we're doing the right things. It's just that nothing is coming together. And it's so draining and frustrating that I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel at the moment. I don't see a survival. I can see us falling off the cliff edge. I can see that every team that we've got to play that's below us is going to beat us. And there's every chance that we do finish on at the bottom of the table. And how embarrassing would that be for Peterborough United to be basically 45 minutes from Wembley in a playoff final to then getting relegated? And then where do we go from there, from next year? Because half of these players will mass exodus out. Anybody that's got a brain cell will leave. I know that you're saying about players would like the challenge, but do they? Do they want the challenge of playing League Two football, going to some of these absolute shitholes that are in League Two? Like, at least in League One, there's like a little bit of a carrot in that you get to go to Birmingham, you get to go to Huddersfield, which are nice grounds. Yes, they're not the nicest of areas, but you've still got that big day out experience. You go to League Two, what is there? Fucking Harrogate away, Bromley away. We're going to end up at York next season by the sounds of things, and potentially they're Forest Green. Just all shitholes, like they're just shit. Like, there's no motivation for that. And I don't have the confidence that with such a young group of players that they can get themselves up. They clearly can't get themselves up for a relegation battle. So how are they going to get themselves for these absolute dives that they're going to have to go to potentially next season? I can't see it happening.
Well, fucking hell, Ash. Man, it bring Bromley into it. Man, that's my hometown. But anyway, we move on. Look, this season's done. As we keep saying. There'll be no white flag upon my ship, is what I can say, you know, seeing as we go down that route. I'm not Dara out. I'm Darren out. End of the day, we have to go and watch this shit week in, week out at the moment, okay? And we will do until the end of the season, and we'll start doing it again next season. Now, he should be with us watching this shit and going for it, not walk away, have an easy option. When has he ever stayed, okay, when we've turned shit? He hasn't. He's always he was sacked or he's walked away. Now, be a fucking bigger man. See us through the shit, all right? Readdress yourself and everything in the summer. Let's get back to the fucking posh way come next year, you know, next season. That's what we need to be doing this year. We just fucking hell, it ain't going to turn around. And that's why I keep saying the FA trophy, whatever. Let's fucking give it the best shot. Let's have something to look forward to. You know, I am. I'm looking forward to going to fucking Wrexham. And I actually think we can beat him, even though we'll only have like one defender. But that's here nor there. I'm not a Fergie out. And as for the blame game, let's be honest. Everybody has got their bit to blame, bit to play in the blame game. We've all done bits well. We've all done bits bad. But mainly, I'll blame you, Clive. Fuck knows why, but I just thought I'd bring you in and blame you. Because if you hadn't have fucking decided about changing a fucking badge, everybody would have been happy, wouldn't they? Anyway, that's not really true. So let's not get too upset. Come on, it's only a game of football. I'm not sure I'm trying to kid, mind you, because it fucking upsets me all the time. But let's just get through this season. Fucking just pick up enough points to finish 20th. I'll take that and then go again next season with Fergie at the helm. We don't need Fergie to go at the moment because I just think it'll put us back again. We know what we're getting with Fergie. You know, this year has just been a fucking disaster. Everything has gone wrong that can go wrong. We know that he can get the best out of our players. We know that he can build good attacking fast fucking teams that are enjoyable to watch. Just this season has not been that one. So stay, sort the fucking shit out, you know, just fucking tread water if we need to until the end of the season, go again. So yeah, now like it or lump it, but like it with us.
Del, you're talking about not waving the white flag, but you've just given us back-to-back relegations and entered us into the FA Trophy. Jesus Christ.
We're not getting fucking relegated, are we, really? Possibly. I don't know. Not sure. But we'll see. We'll see. But there's no white flag. Keep fucking going.
Yeah, you say that, but I don't see where the positive results come from. I don't want to be negative. And it's just an absolute slog, isn't it? We talk about slog season. I've mentioned it before. But the rest of this season is just going to be an absolute slog. And it's getting to the point where even the regulars that turn up week in, week out are probably starting to be put off with it, because I didn't look forward to yesterday. I'm not looking forward to Saturday. I'm not looking forward to going to Wrexham. I'm not looking forward to going to Huddersfield.
Ash, I mean, I only go to the away days, or most of them. I haven't seen a win since August. August!
Well, yeah, every club. It could be worse. I could be Harry.
Well, Harry, I do hope you see an away win this weekend. Saturday, we travel to Stevenage. I can't say my confidence is high. However, we will be there, all four of us, actually. So we are gluttons for punishment. We're meeting up for a Nando's beforehand, which I am frankly looking forward to far more than 3 p.m. Anyway, we won't discuss dinner plans. We're going to discuss tactical plans. And Ash, what changes are you making? Are you making any changes? I don't even know anymore.
I called for it the last time we recorded, didn't I? Big man Brad got a goal for the under-21s, and I think that it's time that we see him. Look, it's not even a joke at this point, right? Stevenage is a small pitch. It's tight, it's congested, it's short, and it's narrow as well. Like, it's basically like a 9v9 pitch at this point. Is that what do we need? We want players that the ball can stick to, and that's where Bradley Ehonvian and his extra bone in his leg, or his third leg, depending on how you view it, come into play. We can move the ball up the pitch quickly, we can get it to stick with him, and then we can then get these lovely attacking players that we've got to join in and to support this attack that ultimately we're going to have. Like, I'm sick and tired of being defensive. I want to either win 5-4 or lose 5-4. I don't want to concede another fucking set piece. I don't want to give away penalties. And I don't want the game to start and think, well, we've got no fucking chance of scoring because we're so negative. Like, I don't enjoy being negative, and I don't enjoy watching Peterborough United be negative. Just go out all attack. Try and save yourselves, please.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That is exactly my mindset. Just try and score a goal, please. With that said, I want us to go back to 4-2-3-1. I want us to go back to something similar to what we were playing last season. I know we haven't got the exact same players, and I know there needs to be tweaks, but I feel like they know that system far better than whatever we've been playing recently, which we've learned for maybe a week. I think the biggest sticking point for me is because Manny Fernandez is suspended for 4 games, I believe, we have a real issue at centre-back because... Look, I've said what I've said about Valin. I cannot trust him to play League One football. And the same really goes for George Nevitt, who I just don't have any confidence is going to handle the physical threat of Stevenage. So who else do we have? I look through the squad and I don't really see too many options, but I think the time has now come for me to play Hector Cipriano at centre-back, which is quite radical, I know. And it's not something that I particularly say that enthusiastically, but he has played there for Cyprus. I just think he may well be our best option there alongside Sam Hughes. I think then you can get Sissoko and Collins in midfield, which I think is a decent League One centre midfield pairing. I think they're both good players, good technical players anyway. I think it allows us to get Con Clark back into the team, which, look, Con Clark's not been great, but he is at least a link. And I mean, Fergie was quite forthright in saying how good he was at Bristol Rovers compared to the other attackers. I want Malik Mothersill to start down the left. I want Kean Hayes to start down the right. And I want Ricky J. Jones to start up front, because I think last season we saw Ricky J. Jones at Stevenage and he had a very good game and troubled their defence with his pace. So it goes back to a team that's playing in their right positions, that in a system that they will be vaguely familiar with. And yeah, I think that's where I'm at with it. Please, Fergie, we're playing Stevenage. They're okay. They're battle hardened. But please do not play this cowardly 8-at-the-back football. Just get on the front foot. We're Peterborough United. Try and attack. And if we lose 3-0, I'll hold my hands up and say I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah, actually, I'm similar. I'm going to have a little bit of a different route, or a combined route that both of you have got. But sentiment wise, absolutely, just go for it. Just if it means hoofing it, do it. Just go all out against the team where, honestly, if we do manage to nick a couple of goals, you'd like to think we can get out of there. Very different prospect to Charlton, very different prospect to Huddersfield. Massive pitches, big teams, big crowds. You're naturally going to be more defensive against them. May as well go for this. I am hearkening back to what I said earlier. I want Mothersill playing through the middle because I thought he played really well against Charlton in that position. And I think he's been better in that position all season. Had the assist at Bristol Rovers as well, right? So I also want Brad in the side. I'm going the 4-2-4 that worked against Cheltenham. Put Ricky out on the left. Bit of pace on that smaller pitch. Hayes on the right. I want Chris Conclark to do well, but I think a bigger pitch is better for him. I really wish he played last night. So I'm going to make a tough decision between Sissoko, Collins and Cipriano. Probably, I'm fine, to be honest, with it, whichever one isn't Sissoko. Start Sissoko, have one of Collins or Cipriano next to him, stick it out with the same back four that we've had, you know, when Manny isn't there, basically. Tayo, Hughes, Wallet, Valin and CJ. I've got nothing against Steer, but I'd rather see Billow there. But then again, look, Steer did well in yesterday with crosses. Might be that sort of game again. So to be fair, maybe he would be a good shout for it. But yeah, there you go. Brad and Mothersill, that's what I want to see.
You know, I'm really not too sure what team I would pick, but I'm on your last night there, well, last night, I would go back to Bilo. They're both sort of half-decent shot stoppers. But if anything, Bilo has got a better kicking ability because, as we said earlier, fuck me, Steer's kicking yesterday was just fucking dog shit. It really wasn't very good at all. But, you know, defence, I really don't know who we're going to pick, who's available. I can't even remember who we fucking got that can play on Saturday. With Manny being out and Katongo being injured, etc. But I do want to see Bradley. I do want to see him given his chance now at the moment, especially with Lingren or Gustav
with his dodgy arm. 4-3-3, whatever you want to call it, 4-4-2, 4-1-2. I don't fucking know what system we play, but we just need to go attacking, you know. Fuck this five at the back bollocks. We can't defend with five, we can't defend with four, but when we defend with five, we lose another attacking person. So just go with four at the fucking back. Let's have that additional person that can move forward. So from that point of view, on Saturday, just fucking four at the back and move forward. But what I am a little bit concerned about, I've already mentioned it, is Wrexham. Now, when we come to Wrexham, who the fucking hell have we got available to defend? You know, hear me out on this, because we've lost three defenders in Aidoon, whatever his name is, Johnson and Hughes. Okay. Is Money suspended for that game? I don't know. So therefore, we're going to have fucking my man, Ryan de Havilland, playing at right back at this rate. And you'd all fucking laugh at me, but it could really, really happen. But now, in all seriousness, who we've got available to play at the back at Wrexham? Fuck knows. I really don't know, but let's move back to Saturday. We really need to get something out of the game. We need to go fucking gung-ho. Let's not be defensive because it doesn't work for us. We're not a defensive team. We just need to go gung-ho, see what happens, get Brad a fucking couple of minutes. Well, not a couple of minutes. Let's get him started. Give him a fucking opportunity. Who knows? We might even fucking score some goals and win the game.
Do you know what? After that period, I was very shocked with John's Kyprianou shout. But whilst you've all been talking, I've sort of come to the idea that actually it probably wouldn't be that bad of a decision because we know that he's not the fastest this year, is he? But what better place to play than on the small pitch where there's not going to be those balls in behind? So I'm going to run through a little 4-2-4 for you. And I think that it's probably going to match similar to a bit what everybody's saying, in that you have Johnston, Kyprianou, Hughes the slogger, just to absolutely meathead everything out. Love it. And then Teo are done. But you then, as they're attacking, they're like that. But then your one becomes a three. And then you've then got that comfortable ball player at the back as well in Kyprianou. Bilo in goal, just to spray them out here, there and everywhere. Bin off steer because he's too small for the goals, I'm afraid. I'm just not having it. Bilo would have saved the penalty yesterday. Then you then get Collins and Sissoho in. Fantastic. Great footballers. They can pass it forwards. You then basically play a defensive six. That's what I'm saying is that I don't mind them playing the defensive six and they sit in the two banks and they just defend. But then you have your four up top. Kean Hayes, I think, Harry, I like what you said about Motherseal and Brad being the two. And then I also do think that that's a lasting memory, is Nathan Thompson being sat down on his ass by Ricky J. Jones. Now, obviously, he's not there anymore, but there's got to be another similar level of player there. But the issue that I've got here is that Stevenage, I don't think, are actually the sloggers that we think they are anymore. I think that they've actually been playing some relatively decent football, and we're the sloggers. We're the ones that need to turn into the sloggers now. We need to be the ones that are just ball up at the top. Somebody wins it. We win a flick on and we just bundle the ball into the back of the net. I loved the second half against Cheltenham. I didn't love any of the game at Charlton. So I want to get the ball forwards. I want us to attack. And like John says, if we lose 5-0, fuck it. At least we can say that we've tried.
We're going to move to predictions. Del, do you want to go first? What's the scoreline going to be?
Fuck it. 4-2. I'm going to keep going 4-2 until it happens. And when it's 4-2, it's 4-2 at a posh.
Do you know what? I'm not going to predict anything silly here. I am also going to predict a 4-2, but it's going to be a Stevenage 4-2. I think that they're just going to absolutely school us. Is it Alex Revelle that's still the manager there? Like, he's clearly got them ticking in some capacity after he had a little bit of a dodgy start, but he was taking over from Steve Evans, wasn't he? He's got them playing football the way that he likes rather than the way that Steve Evans likes. And they're going to bounce back from a disappointing result against Crawley, aren't they? And their fans are going to be right up for it. They don't really have a proper derby. They probably quite look forward to playing Peterborough. And what better time to play Peterborough United than when we are in the ropiest of form that I think I've ever seen while supporting the football club, even when you compare it to the Championship. That's the biggest concern here, is that we're actually like worse than when we've been in the Championship, just getting dicked every week.
Yeah, we've all spoken about how we want us to attack. Every sign that I'm getting from Ferguson's interviews is that we're going to sit back again. So with that said, my prediction is going to be that we're going to sit back again, that it's not going to work again, that we're going to lose 3-0, that we're going to be really disappointed, and that we will be even closer to the relegation zone come 5 p.m. on Saturday.
I often predict draws. I'm going with 3-2 to Posh. I think we'll be 3-0 up, and it'll be the worst last 15 minutes of our lives, but we'll make it. There you go.
Well, I hope you're right, Harry. I really hope you are right. I normally sign these off and I say, hopefully we'll be recording after a Peterborough and a United win next week. I've sort of given up with that. So just enjoy my descent into madness as we record after another Peterborough United defeat next week. I'm off for another 5-minute rant about Ferguson, and then I'm going to punch Harry in the face. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast.
I often predict draws when doing these, but today I'm going to predict a win.